What I'd like to do this morning is have a look at a neutron star. Who knows what a neutron star is? Yeah, all the young people, they all know what that. The people who are going to get concessions to the conference, that's the over 60s and 70s. You ever heard of a neutron star? No. Well, that's really concentrated and super, super heavy. I want to take you to a neutron star in the scriptures. A neutron star which gives us the really condensed guts of the kingdom of God. That's where we want to go this morning. So this is a neutron star sermon this morning. So just write your little notes down there. So all the protons are gone, all the electrons are gone, gravity squeezed everything out. So it's just them neutrons right in there, the core of the matter that we want to get to. So if you've got your Bibles there, and you should have them with you, by the way, but if you've got those phony things, that's all right, but make sure that your Facebook thingo is turned off, so you're not just scrolling through that while the message is going on. Bible app only on your phone at the moment. This is John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven, and if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Friends, this is a neutron star version of the kingdom of God, all packed here in a few little verses. So if you don't want to read the rest of the scripture, and please don't take that as something that you should be doing, but if you don't, come here and have a look at this scripture, because this unpacks for you who you are, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, and what you're meant to be doing. All in one little neutron star of gold scripture right here. This is gold-plated scripture right here. So let's begin to have a look at this and unpack just a few bits. And I don't want to spend all morning on the first little bits, but just have a look at this. On the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. So an understanding of the kingdom of God, of what God wants to do, starts at this point where we're locked away because we're too scared. We're frightened of what's happening in the world, what's going on in our life, what's going on in our family, in our schools. We're terrified. And that's where it starts. How many people have you met recently, just in your normal walk of life, who all they want to talk about is all the bad stuff that's going on in this nation? They're all around you, aren't they? Now, in Australian culture, and you might have guessed I've got a fairly strong Australian accent, and Trish and Kathy and I, we've hung out in North Queensland together, eh? Now, in North Queensland, we have this poem that a lot of people in the world, this is how they think. Oh, we'll all be ruined. We'll all be ruined. That's how it goes. We'll all be ruined because it's raining too much and there's going to be a flood. And oh no, it stopped raining and now there's going to be a kangaroo plague. And oh no, kangaroos are going to come and eat all the grass and there'll be a bushfire. And oh, we'll be back into drought again. Oh, oh, oh. Friends, have you discovered that that's the kind of culture of the soil you're standing on here? Have you seen that? Those of you who've come from elsewhere, have you noticed that's how Aussies talk all the time? They're always talking about the bad stuff. how the blinky South Africans beat us at rugby union and all that kind of stuff. You know, they're always talking about the bad stuff. I thought I'd get a smile from some of you about that. Usually it's the Kiwis. Do we have any Kiwis with us this morning? Okay. Well, we don't even have to think about the Kiwis beating us, do we? That just happens, you know. I mean, we think we can probably beat the South Africans, but generally they just walk all over us. Listen, this is a picture of what it's like in the world. Locked away because you're frightened. Security on the front door, on the back door, a huge big Doberman pincer out the back because you're terrified of whoever is out there. This culture is tearing community apart because we're afraid. So we got that picture. We kind of understand where we're all coming. We understand what it's like in this nation. Into that situation, into the locked room, who steps in? Jesus steps in to where you've tried to lock yourself. He steps in. Oh, what good news that is. That is awesome news that Jesus steps through all the little locks and walls and barriers that you've built. Why? Because he's Jesus and he can do that. He can step through all the mess in your life. We've been singing about chains and walls and all that kind of stuff. Well, here's the good news. It doesn't matter how thick the chains are or how high the walls are that you've built around your life, Jesus can step into there without any problem at all. And when he steps in there, he's stepping in and he's going to show you his hands and his side. He's going to say, see, look at the marks of the cross. That's the Jesus that's going to step in there. That's the one. And friends, by the way, that's the one who's standing at the right hand of the throne of God right now with those same marks. The marks of the cross. The marks that actually break the chains. The marks that actually tear down the walls. This is that Jesus who's stepping into your life. And this morning, when we were worshiping, that's what was going on. There were people out the front here, and you know what was happening? Jesus was walking into their little locked room. That's what was happening. And back pain just, whoop, disappeared. Leg pain disappeared. Some of you had some fears and worries in your mind. Jesus steps in, and all you can see when he steps in is the holes in his hand and his side and his feet. Because, friends, he loved you so much that he put his own physical life on the line. More than that, friends, he put his own relationship with his Father on the line so that he could become sin for you and I. And it all went black on the cross because the Father couldn't look upon his Son who was covered in our sin. He did that for us. Friends, he can walk in through any wall, any barrier, any chain. He can break them all. So when he's walked into your life, this is the first word that he's going to speak. Peace be to you. So the kingdom starts in a prison. And you've locked yourself in there. And Jesus steps through the door. You didn't even open it. He stepped in. That's how good and loving and gracious God is. That's it. It's his action. He does that. He steps in. And then he speaks that word of peace to you. After he's shown you his hands and his side. After you've got a vision of the cross. That's why there's so many songs written about the cross, by the way. Because when Jesus steps into your life, that's the very first thing you see. Then he speaks peace. Then you're filled with joy. But now look what's about to happen. Verse 21. Again, Jesus said, and if the scripture goes to something twice, it's important. So he's already said peace, and now he's going to say it again. Peace be with you. Because he's about to get them to step out of the locked room. So they're going to need some peace. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. He's just unlocked the door on that little room you've locked yourself in. He stepped in there, showed you the work of the cross, spoken peace. You're filled with joy. But friends, you can't stay in that little locked room. You can't stay there. You can't just enjoy a happy, clappy little time in your locked private place, because Jesus is sending you out of the room. And he's sending you, he says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And we need to understand what that means. What does it mean that Jesus is sending us like the Father sent him? Well, let's have a look at how the Father sent Jesus. Let's go back to Luke's gospel. Luke records this for us step by step. So in Luke chapter 3 and verse 22, this is what we read. This is the Father sending the Son. Now, remember, he's going to send us the same way. So we need to go back and look at, well, how did Jesus get sent? Well, here's where it starts. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, notice that word, as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, who I love. With you I am well pleased." Oh my, look what you hear when you step out of that room. When you step out of that room because he sent you, the Holy Spirit, just what has happened, this is exactly what happened to Jesus. The Holy Spirit descends on you, and the word that's used here is like a dove. That's gently, by the way. Now, it's going to get more than gentle in a minute. Just hang there for a moment. It starts gently. It starts like a dove. Now, a dove is a gentle domestic animal that's flighty and easily scared away. But the Holy Spirit comes as a dove first. Then the words of affirmation that every single person needs to hear: you're my son, you're my daughter, I love you, I'm well pleased with you. Now let me tell you another tough thing in this nation. If you hadn't noticed, we don't give compliments very easily in this nation. Have you noticed that? We're only too happy to criticize and pull everybody down, but try and ask us to say, "You've done a good job," and we nearly choke over the words. Here, your Father is saying to you, "I love you, and I'm pleased with you, and you've done a good job." Wow. You see what happens when you step out of that little locked room first up? That's what you're going to hear. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and you're going to hear just how much you're loved. Oh, you've seen the marks of the cross in your locked little room, but when you step outside, you're going to hear the Father of all creation say, "You're my son, you're my daughter, nothing's going to stop you." That's what you're going to hear. Is that pretty cool? But doesn't finish there. Look what happens next. Down chapter 4, verse 1. Then, so Jesus has been baptized and the Holy Spirit's descended on him. Then it says, full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the... Here's the next step. So the Holy Spirit descends gently like a dove, but now there's a filling. Oh, how we need that. And I'm going to come to why we need that in a moment. But just let me underline, oh, how we need that. Then the next thing that happens is, it says, and Jesus led by the Spirit. So there's a descending of the Spirit so you can hear how much God loves you, that you're a son and a daughter. He's dressed you in white like his precious child. You don't need to be afraid. The door's been opened to that locked place of fear. That's gone. Jesus has stepped in there. Now the Spirit's on you. You've heard how much you're loved. Now he wants to fill you with his Spirit so that he can lead you by his Spirit. Because if you're being sent the same way Jesus is sent, he didn't stay in one place, friends. He didn't put up a tent and make a little sign and say, Church of Jesus, turn up here. Services, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. You got to come to me. He didn't say that. He didn't do that. He went to where he was needed. He was sent. And Jesus is sending us in that same way. So the Spirit was on him. He was full of the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. And oh, by the way, I don't want to scare you, but you might want to read what happens after the Spirit led him into the desert. I'm not going to unpack that for you, but there's a testing time where you have to learn to resist temptation. But God will provide the word that you need to resist that. Then, in verse 14 of Luke chapter 4, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee, listen to this word now, in the power of the Spirit. That's signs and wonders, miracles, dead getting raised, lame walking, walking on the water, thousands getting fed. That's what that's talking about. Hear that process now? This is how the Father sent the Son, and Jesus is sending us exactly the same way. Wow! So what you see here, you can expect because that's what Jesus promised. That's how he sent you. Does Jesus keep his word, by the way? Absolutely. So when he says, I'm sending you just like my dad did sent me, then you can expect the Holy Spirit to come upon you in gentleness and speak words of love from the Father into your heart so you know how you are. You can expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can expect to be led by the Spirit. And you can expect to walk in the power of the Spirit. Oh, yes. That's just a little paragraph, a parenthesis in the message, by the way, because we're going back to that passage in John. So let's jump back to John chapter 20, because there's more that happens there. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. Here's the first step, starting right here with these North Queenslanders of Israel. That's who these Galilean boys were, by the way. They had a thick Galilean accent. Hey, isn't that right, Trish? Yeah, mate. These... You got to go over there and find out what it's like. It's just totally different to the West. But that's the kind of people that, I'm not talking about Trish now, but these guys were pretty uneducated, reasonably thick as a brick, always wanting to be at the top of the pile. And when they got upset, they just told Jesus, just call down fire on those turkeys. I know I'm not hanging around with them Samaritans. Just. That's the kind of people that we're talking about. That's you and me. That's you and me. That's the kind of average kind of Joe. That's who's here. Not someone super special or qualified by the world. But they're about to get supercharged here. Because Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathes on them. There's the start of the journey. There's the start of the step out of the room when Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit on you. Because you cannot step out of your place of fear without the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God did not give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of sonship or adoption. That's what he gave you. And when you step out of that door, you need to know beyond all doubt that you are a son or a daughter of the Most High. Because when the enemy comes against you, he is actually afraid of you because you're a son and you're a daughter and you know who your dad is and what you're plugged into. That's what you know. You're plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit. He's descended on you. You're led by him. You're full of him. And you're operating in the power of the Spirit. That's who you are. Isn't that awesome? So now Jesus says, oh, this is the challenging bit now. Because now he says, after they've received the Holy Spirit, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And if you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven. Oh my. When Jesus stepped into the room here, what did he show them? His hands and his feet. He showed them the work of the cross. Tell me, what happened on the cross? Forgiveness. Your sins were nailed to the cross. Jesus took them there. He became sin for you. And then he spoke those amazing words which echo and sweep all through history. Father, forgive them. You see, you're going out there into the community to speak words of forgiveness. Why? Because you have been forgiven, therefore you know how to forgive. Because they're going to do stuff. There's going to be stuff in your family that hurts you, right? We're not talking about it, oh, well, really, it's, you know, they're the wrong ones. Friends, they nailed Jesus to the cross. Who's the wrong ones in that story there? Who's the ones that spat on him and flogged him and mocked him and put a crown of thorns on? Who did all that? The others. And what did Jesus say? Forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That's the power to break the chains and walls in other people's life. That's what happens. And you need the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. You can't forgive someone in your own strength. You know why? Because your own selfishness rises up. And quite frankly, they were wrong. And they deserve to suffer for that. I'm just going to sit here and wait until they come to me and say, oh, I'm sorry. We justify ourselves all the time. But friends, when we are in the power of that, when we are full of the Holy Spirit, that's why you need it. Because if you're full of the Holy Spirit, guess what? There's none of you in there. None of you in there. And that's a hard deal. That's a really hard deal to be empty of all our garbage and allow the Holy Spirit. But that's how Jesus has sent us. He sent us to be able to forgive. Now Paul uses different words, but it's the same thing. He talks about a ministry of reconciliation. At the core of that is his understanding of the forgiveness of sins. You've got to be able to be forgiven and forgiven one another to be reconciled. You have to be forgiven by your heavenly Father to be back in relation with him. And he's done that on the cross through his Son, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, who's stepping into your little prison right now. That's who he is. The key to all of this, the key to the kingdom, at the center of the neutron star, the enormous power of gravity, is the Holy Spirit. Jesus in us on earth. That's the key. Without the Holy Spirit, we're just noisy, clangy gongs. We're just pretending. It's the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus breathed on them. That's why in Luke's gospel, he told them to wait. Wait in Jerusalem until what? Till the power of the Spirit comes on you. Wait for what the Father has promised. That's why Peter could say in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when everybody's looking around and saying, well, these guys must be drunk, surely. What's going on here? And he says, no. That's not what's going on. Jesus, who you crucified, God raised from the dead, but more than that, we've just seen him ascend to heaven. And he's standing at the right hand of the Father, and the Father has given him what he promised, the Holy Spirit. And now Jesus has poured that out on us. That's what they're talking about here. Friends, the word we use for that is revival. When the Holy Spirit is poured out in bucket loads. No, truckloads. You know the metric of all those things, don't you? Like a handful is about 5, metrically speaking. A bucket load is about 20 or 30. And a truckload, well, you can't count how much is in a truckload. Jesus poured out and wants to pour out a truckload of his Holy Spirit. Why? Why does he want to do that? Because the very first thing the Holy Spirit is going to do in your life is make you like Jesus. He's going to make you walk according to God's law. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. That's what was promised in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. God says, I'm going to take out your heart of stone and I'm going to put in a heart of flesh. And I'm going to put my Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit, to cause you to walk according to my law. Oh, yes. You can't step outside that little room with a bucket load of sin in your life. And I'll tell you why. Because as soon as you do that, this nation is going to say to you, like it said to the church for the last 100 years, or let's say 50 years anyway, you bunch of hypocrites. You tell me to do this, this, and this, but look at what you're doing. And friends, you need to understand what's been on the front page of the newspapers for the last 2 years about the sin in the church. All the abuse that's been going on. That's the Holy Spirit trying to clean up the church, by the way, not the media just trying to hate the church. That's the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows that when we step outside there, we've got to have clean hands and a pure heart. We need the Holy Spirit, because his first work after salvation, well, let me get it in right order. The first work that the Holy Spirit does in every single person's life is convict you of your sin. The second work the Holy Spirit does is cause you to be born of the Spirit. Now, the word we use is born again, but you can equally say born from above or born of the Spirit. That's what he does. That's the transaction. And the next thing he does, and this is a big posh church word, he sanctifies you or causes you to follow God's law or makes you like Jesus. That's all the same kind of meaning. That's what he does. So why do we need the Holy Spirit? So we can do signs and wonders and miracles? Oh, yeah. But listen, friends, the first port of call is so that we can be cleaned up on the inside and totally empty of ourselves so we can be filled with the Spirit. Then there's the power now. That's what's happening. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you. But you have to choose to yield to His Spirit. He wants to give you the words to say when you go out there into the world. In Mark 13 and verse 11, Jesus is talking to His disciples and said, listen, when they start to persecute you and lock you up, and don't try and think of some smart kind of thing that you learned at university to tell people, allow God to speak through His Spirit into those circumstances. Now, in the church, we call those words of knowledge and words of wisdom and all that kind of stuff. That's what all that's talking about. You need the Holy Spirit when you're out there, because quite frankly, do you know what to say to people who don't know about Jesus? It's really hard, isn't it? And you think, oh, wow, what am I going to say in this situation? Well, the Holy Spirit's there to give you those words. He's there. So He's there to cause you to be like Jesus. He's there to give you the words that you need to say. And He's there to teach you to pray. Because I can tell you, historically, when the church learns how to pray according to the Scriptures, thousands of people get saved. Thousands, hundreds of thousands. And historically, that's the truth. All the way through. All the way through. And there is only one person who can teach us to pray, and that is the Holy Spirit. Because in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus finishes up His teaching on prayer and says, you parents who are evil, you know how to give your children good gifts. And then comes this absolute humdinger of a statement. How much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who, you know the last word? Ask. Well, tell me another word that you might use for asking God for something. Prayer. In prayer, we learn to ask for the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I've already shown you how desperately we need the Holy Spirit. Again and again and again, day after day, morning after morning, evening after evening, we need God's Spirit to convict us of our sin, to come live and dwell in us, to cause us to be like Jesus, to give us the words we need to say out in that hurting, broken world. Words of forgiveness. And we need the Holy Spirit to teach us to pray. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, Paul writes for us that the Holy Spirit inside of us, He's been put there according to Romans 5:5. The Father put the Spirit in our heart to fill it with His love. This is the first thing that you hear when you step out of the room. But the next thing is the Holy Spirit testifies or agrees with your Spirit. You now are choosing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, out of your mouth comes Abba Father, Daddy God. And then when we move on in Romans 8 more, so that's the first part of the Holy Spirit teaching you to pray. He's teaching you how to adore your Father in prayer. But then it goes on in verse 27 of Romans 8 and says, when you don't know what to pray and you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you in accordance with God's will. Oh, what a wonderful thing this gift of the Spirit is. You see where we've come? We've got to the point now where you should be saying, well, the only thing I need to be asking for is more of the Holy Spirit. And friends, that's the bottom line, isn't it? That's the bottom line for this church to live up to all this amazing stuff that's been shared with you by your leaders. You hear their heart? You know, we're an apostolic, prophetic church based on prayer. That was right. I got that bit right? Sure. Got that bit right. And what's the next bit? Equipping and training and sending. Is it sending or releasing? Sending. What a vision. Friends, that's just a whole pile of noisy, clangy words without the Holy Spirit. And I know for a fact that your leaders would agree in saying, this is the bottom line for us as a church. All What we need is the Holy Spirit. So that's the question this morning. It's a simple kind of question. Can the musos come up, thanks? Just something quiet in the background. So here's the question. Are you still locked in that little room? Full of fear and anxiety? And there's no peace? Then in prayer, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to show you Jesus, the Lamb of God. You need to get a picture of that. But if you've already experienced that freedom, you need to ask the Father to pour out His Spirit so you can go into the world just like Jesus did, led by the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, full of the Spirit, with the Spirit resting on Him. So would you stand for me, thanks. So let's deal with the prison first. If you're still in that place, if you're still locked there full of fear and anxiety because of whatever's going on in the world, then I want you to bow your head quietly and just pray. That's talking to God. Just say, God, show me Jesus with those cross mark things on. Show me a picture of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Holy Spirit, would you come right now and show that to those who are asking? Bring that revelation. Open their eyes and their hearts and their spirit to see Jesus. Jesus has just walked into that locked room, and He's breathing on you now. Peace. Receive His peace. Come, Holy Spirit, impart that now. If that's you, if that's just happened now, would you just very quickly just put your hand up so we can see, because some of the church leaders will come and sit and chat and pray with you. If that's you, just put your hand up, say, yep, He's just stepped into my prison. For those of you who have already had Jesus step into your prison, your locked little room, and spoken those words of peace, and you've seen the cross, but now you know how much you need the Holy Spirit and how your Father wants to pour that out upon you to fill you with His Son, because He's sending you into the world the same way He sent His Son. If that's you and you want that, I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit unusual. I want you to kneel as a sign of yielding to the Holy Spirit. So if that's you, would you kneel for me, please? Now, those of you who are still standing, don't get embarrassed about that, and don't kneel because you see everybody else kneeling, okay? Those of you who are standing, I want you to keep praying for these people kneeling, because they're about to ask for more of the Holy Spirit. They're about to take Jesus at His words, which says, ask the Father and He will give you the Holy Spirit, who will rest on them, who will fill them, who will lead them, and they'll walk in the power of the Spirit. So Holy Spirit, would you come now and fill these precious, precious believers of Jesus with the presence and the power and the leading and the anointing of Your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, And I'm not sure of the protocol now. It'll either be Pastor Paul or Pastor Chris, because I want one of you now, because I don't have the authority to send them out, but you do. So one of you to send these saints into the world, led by the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, and full of God's Spirit, to speak words of forgiveness.
Thank you, Lord, for this timely word for us as a church. Father, as you've had us more and more dig down into what it means to be a Christian and to seek your face as you're purifying us, we thank you, Father, for an increased measure of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for an increased measure of peace, that you are bigger than all the chains and all the walls. Thank you for the nail-marked hands, the spear-marked side, and the nail-marked feet. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've deposited in us today, afresh and anew. In the name of Jesus, I say to you, church, as you've received the Holy Spirit, go now and take it with you into the world. Be bold witnesses as he's come as a dove, maybe to you today. Maybe he's come to fill you up today. Go in whatever capacity he's given you. Maybe you're in the desert. Maybe you're facing the trials. You have the power to beat them. And maybe, just maybe, today you receive the baptism and you receive the power of the Holy Spirit for the first time. Go and live the normal Christian life of healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. A life in the power of Jesus. Go and take this to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Matt, for that. And thank you, Lord Jesus, also. You know, we had a bit of a talk yesterday after the conference, and, you know, I want to just honor Pastor Matt and Kathy, because very accommodating, and they said, we're your servants, we're here to serve you. And I said, look, we're a church, we're an apostolic and prophetic church, so we believe that whatever you have to bring to us is what we need to hear from God. And we honor you and we receive you as a prophet, and we want to receive the prophet's reward, church, by responding to what's been said to us today, taking it and walking it out. And so I just want to say thank you for your servant heart. Thank you for serving our church and this region over this weekend. Thank you for coming from Geraldton just to do that. And you know, we want to bless you with traveling mercies and favor in the next place that you go. In fact, church, can we just do that? Just where you are, stretch your hands out right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending this man and woman of God to us for this weekend. Thank you for the impartation that you've given us of such an important topic of prayer, of intercession, of understanding our DNA of our community. Lord, we just thank you for this word that you've given us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we just pray the Holy Spirit would come and fill them afresh right now, that they can go and move in the power wherever it is you have them going next. I pray for traveling mercies. I pray for good weather. I pray, Father, for good night's sleep for them both. Heavenly Father, bless them as they've been a blessing to us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Well, church, thank you so much. We love you so much for being here. I noticed there's a few new faces this morning, so welcome. And make sure you get someone gets around to say hello to everyone, have something to eat. Oh, can you just clarify what you're saying there? Oh, we have to take a love offering. Okay, guys, you know, like, say, can we get the ushers ready to send the bag around? There's one last thing we've got to do before we go today. We want to take a love offering for Matt and Kathy. This is their living. This is what they do. And we just want to say thank you. And, you know, we spoke last week about our heart and a heart attitude towards money. And so this would be a really good opportunity for you to put that into practice today. It's to bless them. To sow into what you've heard and into your life. If you want, we have FPOS at the back if you didn't come prepared. But Lord, we bless this money. In Jesus' name, we want to release it to them. We want you to bless it. And we want you to give it to them, Father God. Bless everyone who gives today in an offering in the way that you bless people who give offerings. Bless everyone with their heart towards their finances. And may it multiply in the hands of Matthew and Kathy Boltang. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. See you next week.